Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear and understand and live by your holy word. Help us to know him who is the incarnate word, who has entered our world to become one of us, to work out our salvation, that having heard your word proclaimed, knowing that we are your forgiven children, we may also be empowered to speak that word and to share that word in our daily lives. Bless us, Lord, and use us for your purposes, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our text today is the opening verse of Isaiah's second servant song from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Thus our text. There are within the words of the prophet Isaiah four separate sermons or servant songs. These are presented as the words of the coming Messiah, and are prophetic in the sense that they are sharing what it is the Messiah is to be, what the Messiah is to do. They summarize what he is to accomplish in the fulfilling of the Old Testament, the cost that was paid for us by the Son of God suffering on the cross. So while you and I are certainly not the suffering servant, only Jesus can fulfill that role. As we look at these words of the suffering servant, we come to know what it means to be God's servants, God's children. And now how we are called forth to live as his children, being reminded the Lord God has given me a tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Notice that the focus in these words is on God's word. God's word. God has given the servant a tongue of those who are taught, an ear, so that he might teach, that he might sustain the weary. Martin Luther focused strongly on these words, specifically dealing with the power of God's word. He writes concerning this verse, "By this word the sea was divided, and he commanded them to cross over. Here dullness and weakness depart from them, so weakness departs from the word. Then the water of baptism and the bread and wine become exceedingly powerful. For beyond the water and the bread and the wine, there is the word of Christ, who accomplishes more than does the weakness of the appearance of the minister and the elements. This is so because the Lord God has added the tongue that is taught, and it is a tongue instructed by the Lord. This word is not humanly transmitted, but divinely, and therefore its divine power comes to the aid of the fettered, those enduring trials, and the weary, and the exhausted." I'm reminded of words found later in the book of Isaiah from chapter 55, where Isaiah says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, to return there, but water the earth and make it come forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth." And here is that powerful word of promise concerning God's word. "It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the things for which I sent it." Wow. No wonder, when we think of the power that God's word has, that this word is at work and we see what it means for us as the children of God. And yet, when we look to the suffering servant, we are reminded he came to suffer. And we know that he comes to suffer because he, the holy and perfect and righteous one of God, the living Word of God, comes into a world filled with sin. We recognize our lost condition. One of my favorite children's messages was always to take a plain white sheet of paper and then just to put a little black dot on it somewhere. And you ask the children, what do you see? You all know what they say, I'll bet, huh? They see the imperfection. They see the black dot. And yet our lives, when held up by the perfect life of Christ, is not a white sheet of paper with one single black dot, but so many black dots of our sin that that sheet is no longer white, but totally black. There is no way we could begin to approach our God, begin to live with His Son, were it not for His grace. We recognize our sins. We see in the Old Testament people the desire to wander away from God, constantly getting into trouble, and we have to admit our lives are much the same. So much so that the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, a young pastor in training, if you will, in 2 Timothy 4, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Could there ever be a more apt description of our American culture today? And yet, it is to a culture like this that the suffering servant comes among us. He is the one who enters our lives because we are covered in sin. He is the one who enters our world to take those sins upon himself and to restore the whiteness, the brightness of the robes in which we are dressed. Indeed, if we would take that symbolism of the picture once again, to take that totally black and destroy piece of paper and make it pure and white and holy again. John reminds us of Jesus' entry into the world in the opening verses when he says the word of his gospel, when he says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is into this world of sin the suffering servant, the word, enters because of our need. Because of our need to listen to and to hear the word of God. Because of our need to experience the transforming power and renewing power of that Word of God, to know that God continues to love this world in spite of its sin and rebellion, and wants all people to come to know Jesus as their Savior from sin. And so Jesus enters our world and suffers and dies on the cross for us. As a people of God, we've received His grace and truth, His love. Martin Luther refers to the people of God as little Christ. And there again he captures that need for us to understand what Christ has come to do and what He would now do through us. Someone, as I was reading and reflecting on these verses, made this comment. He asked the question, why do we have ears on the outside of our heads? Why not on the inside? And the response is, because we're not supposed to listen to ourselves. And so we get into trouble. Because we're always trying to listen to ourselves and have what we want and do what we want and think that we're so important. And all the other problems come our way as a result of that. If we constantly listen to the voices that are within our heads, we will fall into more and more trouble all the time. But God has given us our written words so that we might know Him. And I think it's written also for the reason that if he had come with a videotape or a DVD or a movie, well, you know how easy it is for us to look at something visually and get the wrong message. And we come back to the written word, we can study and reflect and compare and come to understand more fully the message that is before us. An uncompromising focus on God's word is his way of getting us to listen to him and receive the power of his spirit. In times of trial and struggle, God's word is a message to us of what he has done for us and what he desires from us. A number of years ago, I had a member in a congregation that I would visit with quite regularly. And she was very frustrated because she was ready to go home and be with the Lord. Her family lived a few miles out of town, but kids were in high school and they were just too busy to bother to come and see Grandma. And so she basically sat in her small apartment and lived day by day, unable to really go out much, and wondered why God had left her there. And then someone suggested to her, "Violet, you know what you should do? Take it upon yourself to pray. To pray for your pastor, your congregation, for all those hours that the church is open on Sunday morning. For God to bless and use the pastor, for the congregation to be receptive to the word of God and empowered by the sacraments, by God himself, to be enabling the congregation to be a church that walks out of that church renewed and empowered and strengthened by God himself." You know, when I met her shortly after that suggestion had been made, she looked at me and said, "Pastor, have you gotten a message? Is it any different on Sunday morning?" I said, "Yes, Violet. The church is alive. It makes a difference. People are praying. And we know that. Jesus says in Luke 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." We need to hear. Not just to hear, but when we come across a situation like Violet's or any other person who is struggling, have the words to sustain the weary. We need to hear that word of God to be empowered as one who has been taught, to have the voice of one who has been taught, so that we can share that word with those that we come into contact with. We need to be the people of God. As Luther would say, we need to be little Christ in our community today as we share God's tremendous love that we have received in Jesus with all of those around us, because then the world will come to know him who came as the servant to walk the way of the cross, to die for us and for all people, and to share the forgiveness he has won for all, so that others might know his love through us. May God bless us in our lives to that task for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.